On today's show, we have an interesting conversation about buying domains in a partnership, and also Drew makes it very interesting. He lets the Sherpas decide what he's going to do with a particular offer he's just received to double his money. Enjoy the show. Hey, Sherpa Network, Happy New Year, we're back. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tess Diaz, executive producer of DomainSherpa.com, and this is the Domain Sherpa Review. This is a show where we get into the minds of successful domain name investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become better investors ourselves. We're doing our usual three segments to this review. We'll start off learning what the Sherpas recently bought and sold. Next, we'll discuss in value an investor-submitted domain name portfolio. And finally, we'll preview some domains going to auction soon at namejet.com and whether the Sherpas think they're a good investment opportunity for you. Joining us today on the Domain Sherpa Review are three past Sherpas and industry thought leaders. We have Shane Coltra, publisher of the blog DSAD.com and owner of the Country Arbors Nursery in Illinois. Hi, Shane.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Welcome back. Thanks for being here. We have Drew Rosner, CEO of domain brokerage firm MediaOptions.com. Hi, Drew.
Hello.
And I'm so excited to have you back, Mike Carson of Park.io. Mike, I was recently listening to a podcast you did a while back, and I feel like unless our viewers have watched one of the one-on-one shows that we've done with you, I hope they know how amazing you are. Give us a minute more than usual about Park.io.
Sorry, what did you ask? You want to know?
I want just a 1 minute. I mean, Park.io, you tried a bunch of businesses, you figured out this is where it was at, and you're running this amazing automated one-man business with some pretty huge revenue.
I think anybody who's gone into domains and had some success, they're like, man, I really lucked out here because, I mean, it's like you just stumble into this, like, you know, this thing and you're suddenly, you know, there's a lot of money. Like you can buy a domain for $50 and sell it for like $60,000 or something. And it's like, it's not a fluke, you know, it's like something that you can do over and over. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And if you acquire the proper skill set.
Yeah. And don't forget to credit me for being your guide, because you guys don't know the story. Mike and I have known each other for 11, 12 years, way before domains.
Yeah. We had trading blogs and
doing day trading, right?
Yeah, we were doing day trading.
Mike did write some scripts, like some automated scripts together that would trade, and we'd put a little money in it, go away and come back and see what it did, and we go, well, it sold everything within 3 seconds. Because we, it was fantastic. Yeah, we had two little blogs, and you know, Mike was an amazing coder back then, and I was me being stupid and crazy and fun, and it was a good combination even back then.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
But what's crazy is, like, I got into domains. Like, I hadn't talked to Shane for a while, and I got into domains, and then I was watching Domain Sherpa. And I was like, is that Shane?
That guy.
Yeah.
I'm back.
And then, yeah, I got back in touch with him.
Yeah, I went from Wall Street Fighter to Domain Shane, like, over 3 or 4 years. It was a crazy transition.
Yeah, and you know, don't undersell it. I think that you both have really found some similarities between the two markets. You've applied your skills. And the coolest thing is that your passions as well. That you've said, hey, this is the area that I'm interested in. Mike, you love automation. Shane, you love figuring out and tinkering. And you've really both applied that to some phenomenal financial success. And I think some brilliant entrepreneurial applications. So
thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Mike's what we call SBD, silent but deadly.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in the title. But Drew Rosner, Media Options, Shane Coltra, DSAD, Mike Carson, SBD. unless you own SBD.com. Or no, Mike owns .io. Come on.
I have introvert.com. Introvert.com. That's nice.
And your picture probably should be on that. You're a very
I've always said that was the worst thing. Is
good way to get our guests back, Tess.
Yeah. But Mike's got the face for podcasting, and I have a face for radio, but I'm the one who throws my face everywhere. That's what screwed up.
I'll have you know, I'm in Philly visiting my old college roommate, and I showed her a picture of each of you three and said, like, this is what I do, this is what I'm doing. And Shane, the picture that came up of you, I will say, was a couple years older, but she was like, oh, he's cute. So,
oh, I'm so cute.
So you don't just have a face.
It's not attractive.
All righty then. Let's jump into the first segment of the show. What's new, Sherpas? Let's share one purchase or sale you've made over the past few weeks. Sometimes end of year can be a really different market. You know, I think it's consistent every year what goes on, but always an interesting time to learn what you've paid or received for a domain recently, if you thought it was a good deal, and how the negotiations progressed. You guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start with you, Shane. What's new?
Well, that's the problem is I don't really have, it was end of year for me. So I do my taxes in a way that I spent everything, and there could be a whole show on how people do their taxes, but I was kind of neat where I needed to, I would sell whatever I needed to sell, but I needed to spend some money at the end of the year. So I bought something, but I'm not allowed to say because it's a partnership. So I'm actually saying what I hate to tell people. If you can't talk about it, don't talk about it. But in this case, I really can't talk about it.
Why don't you tell us how the partner, like, how did you enter into a partnership? Why did you do that?
So I do this with people I trust, and there are certain people in this industry that I trust. And occasionally, there are some domains that maybe I'm more expert in that type of domain, or that person isn't really into it, but they trust my opinion and they say, hey, I'll go in with you on it. Or they'll see a name that they, like I said, they think that I would be good with because it's in my wheelhouse of plants or sports or certain things. And so that comes up. And so I'm partners with four people in certain names. And maybe it's to take the risk off. Maybe it's just to do something fun together. And of course, the DSAB guys, we're partners in different names as well.
And, you know, you don't really develop your domains. So what would two partners bring to the table on a pure domain investment?
Well, so there's a couple things. Sometimes it can be money. So if it's a six-figure domain, you kind of split up the risk there.
Was this?
Close. Yeah. The other thing that's a little tricky, and I will say this again, it could be a show. When you go into a partnership, you have to watch how you set it up as an LLC, or how do you, you know, it could be a lot of paperwork when it comes to something happening. Do you have to set up a buy-sell agreement? If you already have a corporation on your own, you can't really put that in if it's a partnership unless you come up with a paperwork that says, although this is in the partnership or in the LLC, it's owned by this guy. So if I sell the company, we got to figure out how to get rid of that domain to make sure the so it can be a little complicated if you're going in a partnership, and you definitely need to make sure legally that you have your handshake solidified in one way or another. Like Travis and I, go ahead.
Yeah, in most cases though, if it's going to be held passively and not generate any you know incremental income, you're better off just you know, assuming it's two individuals or you know two people who have small businesses, you know, just do it as individuals as a sort of.
That's exactly how we did it. We kept it out of
setting up the LLC. We've got, I can't really talk about the details, but one of our biggest sales, a domain that we owned, we sold and retained 10%. And so whatever they would do with it, whether they built a business or they resold it, we would get 10% of in perpetuity. And so, it got very complicated. It was like, in theory, it was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, great. But now like right soon we expect this thing to start making money and it will make sense. But right now, since about a year and a half, 2 years, we're paying something like, I don't know, $5,000 or $6,000 of fees, you know, split between the two parties per year in accounting and LLC expenses and lawyer, blah, blah, blah. All this crap that is costing us $5,000 or $6,000 a year for absolutely no reason, just to hold the name in an LLC where he owns 90%, we own 10%, and it makes things very complicated, totally unnecessarily. And it's another K-1 that has to be filed, and it's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, if something happens to you, who gets the other half, and, you know, that all has to be set up. So honestly, just exactly like you said, we've actually made it just more simple and said, we've typed out a little, even the email. Hey, here's the email that said you own half. If your wife sees it, go to the email. It says that you have half the domain. And
Until there's an email that's, you know, later dated that says you don't own half anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they Zuckerberg you.
Fair enough. So tell me Oh, I missed that for a second. I like it. Zuckerberg it.
Zuckerberg, he's the one who added shares. Like he said, oh, you own 10%? All right. Well, now there's 1,000 shares. You own 1%.
Yeah.
So who approached whom?
Pardon me?
Who approached whom for this partnership?
This was a name up for sale, and I approached them about, hey, this is over my head financially, but it's a name that I'd really like. But it's a good name. And they said, sure. And then we're going to do all this paperwork. Honestly, the paperwork, it was like 3 and 4 months of trying to figure it out. And then finally at the end, we said, screw this. Yes, just send me the money, get it official. Let's get it on the books. And just because I had to spend the money. I need to spend the money saying I had spent money on domains because I had sold some domains. So I needed to get it done. Screw the paperwork. And we realized after talking to our lawyers, like, just do it. Yeah. Just pay the guy his money. It's fine. Did you trust him? Yeah. Could it go wrong? Yes. But this is probably the best way to do it. And Travis and I have the same thing. Travis and I are on some 3-letter.com, 1-word.coms. And you know, we talk every day. Yeah, somebody could really work to screw each other over. But no matter how you set it up, someone can work hard and screw you over.
Sure. Yeah, that's cool.
And I've always wondered why no registrars come out with a multi-party
ownership.
Yeah.
Legal fees.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with it when you die and you get divorced and you, like, I mean, just so many.
Well, but this actually avoids them having to deal with it. Like, let's say you and I own a name together 50-50. You drop dead and I'm like, the domain was in your account, and I'm like, well, hey, you know, Uniregistry, that domain that was in Tess's account, actually, we own half. Oh, here's an email I've got. They're going to be like, yeah.
Oh, in this scenario, I thought Shane was dropping dead. I'm the one dropping dead?
Well, you know. come back. Shane's old. I don't want to make him feel like
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He doesn't want to say a real situation.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it hypothetical.
Sean, you're going to get Nancy Kerrigan at the next domain show.
Yeah, they're going to just say, come back with a court order, which means that we have to go through the whole estate process.
And yeah. Now, Mike, you haven't said much. What are your thoughts on partnership?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like that's part of the reason why I run Park.io by myself. It's like, I don't want to deal with all of that. It's like, why deal with all, like, why would you torture yourself with all that stuff? Yeah. I don't see, like, to me, it's not worth it. I don't see a reason to do it. I'd just rather not deal with it. And also it's like, it's not even just that. It's not just the paperwork and all the like logistics and stuff. It's also making decisions. You got to, you know, like, what if you really want to sell it for this price? Another person doesn't. And then you have to deal with that. And so, I mean, it's like, yeah, when more people get involved, it gets more difficult. And I can't really see a big reason to do that. I don't see why it would be worth doing that personally.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, everybody's got a different approach. So Shane, did I catch you at the beginning? Did I catch the comment correctly that you spent 3 or 4 months discussing this potential?
Oh yeah, maybe even longer than that, trying to figure out the paperwork side of it. Because, you know, you know, Mike is right. The people that I had, the person I went in with, not a big fan of partnerships. They always seem to go wrong. Friendships get in trouble. But I mean, and again, I can't say that things will be different, but I have never had a partnership go bad ever. But I also choose my partners very, 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 very well. I mean,
so it sounds to me like the negotiation with the partnership took longer than the negotiation acquiring the domain.
No doubt about it.
Anything interesting or that our Sherpa Network can learn about the acquisition process itself? Did you guys decide which one of you would be better at doing the acquisition or negotiating that?
My partner is, there's some actual history. The name, it took a couple years to get. When we first approached it, it was several years ago, and they told us to go fuck ourselves. So we left it on the table. When it came back, we got it much, much, much cheaper than the first time we went around because time had changed a little bit. So
huge mistake we see domain owners regularly make.
I mean, it works both ways. Time can make some of those names more valuable. It's funny because even in the last year, these type, you know, good names have gotten even more valuable in a year. But yeah, it takes, you know, and we're all busy. So it wasn't the top of our priority, like, hey, we need to get this done. The funny part is if the name would have sold during the year, I hadn't even paid him yet. would he have given me, and I think he would have. That's how much I trust him. I think regardless, I know if Drew is the same thing, hey, if we had a partnership, we still haven't gotten the money, the name sells, he would just subtract what I owe him from it and there'd be no question asked. That's how a good partner, you know, you can call it a friend. I don't care what you call it. It's just trust. Just trust. And, you know, without getting too philosophical, this whole, everything in life is built on trust. And once it's broken, you fucked. You're done. You're screwed. It's over. Once somebody screws you once, there's no rebuilding it. In this industry, because you'll always question whether they're going to do that again. So if someone in this industry screws you over, they are toast. And so that's why you have to be, you know, pick your partners carefully. And
it says something that you've, you know, been in the industry so long, that speaks to its own credibility or, you know, reputation is very important.
Just because I don't have reason to not trust some people, but when I have a feeling that I wouldn't do business with them, I just don't. You know, it doesn't mean I don't like them. I don't think they're a great person. It's just I'm not going to put my money in that hand. Why do that? So I know why Mike is. I know there's a lot more people like Mike than like me. Just why? If you don't need it. But I enjoy a partnership. I enjoy talking over names. It's something I like. It's what I like, part of the business.
Yeah, and it's neat that there are different strategies and they're all good. So was it a .com?
Oh, it's always a .com. Yeah.
Let's see your smile, Mike.
Is there anything that's close to six figures that's not .com?
Was it one word, two words?
It's always one word. Yeah. I'm pretty much all one word now. Maybe some two words.
Okay. Exact match or brandable?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm done my inquisition. Well, thanks for sharing what you could. And I think you brought up a really interesting topic on partnership. Drew, what'd you buy or sell lately?
Well, just got, got one yesterday. Extracts.com, plural, extracts.com.
All right. And you acquired it.
We acquired it.
Okay. Mike, you want to guess what he paid?
Extracts.com. I mean, I don't know .com that well, but that one's a good one. And
you do know it. You just, what do you do is you take away the IO, put a .com and add 20 times the value.
But see, it's different. Like .io is like more tech related things. And I mean, it is actually very different, but I mean, in terms of branding and stuff, it's not that different, but
it's really not that different. The names, the best names in .io are also the .coms that sell for the highest price. I mean, so your target audience with .io is always tech, and the people who spend the most money for the most part in .com are tech, venture-backed tech. And so the audience is really the same. I think you just meet them at different stages. you know, .io, it's generally earlier stage. .com is after they've raised like an A round or a B round. And
but wouldn't you say it like this? The good.com doesn't always make a good.io, but what's good.io almost always makes a good.com.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Anyway, but, go ahead and guess. Sorry.
Yeah, extracts, I don't know, 15,000.
All right. Shane, what do you think?
I think it's definitely a cannabis market as far as spinning and juicing and all that fine stuff, the machines that Drew and I own that we extract everything in the back room with. But the S does take it to a different level. It takes it more into a category. So I'll say, I think Mike's probably right. I'll say 12 grand.
Okay.
Drew gave him a $2,000.
Where are you guys finding $12,000 and $15,000 oneword.coms like that? Because I will buy them all day. Whatever you find, just send it my way and I will buy it.
I just give you a lot of credit as a negotiator, Drew.
With a blindfold on.
Uh-huh. Well, the plural makes it not like extract, of course, could be anything in tech. The extracts.
We already own extract.com. So the singular, we already own it. So,
okay.
In a way, does that make you more motivated to corner the market and own them both? Does that make you more willing to pay more for the S at the end?
Well, I'm going to say 12.5 now since I heard Drew.
Here's the deal. We're going to make this super interesting. Okay? So, first off, I didn't pursue, well, maybe 2 years ago, I tried to buy extracts.com, the plural, after we bought extract.com. The seller came back to us yesterday morning, emailed me and said, hey, I've got an offer from another buyer. We're at a range that I'm comfortable selling. You had inquired, here's the price, non-negotiable, if you want it, buy it now. And he had lowered the price from, I forget what it was originally, $75,000 or $80,000. He lowered it to $38,000. So, or $37,500 or so. After escrow fees, it was $38,000 and change. So I said, fine, let's do it. And I did that because we've gotten very big offers on extract.com, primarily from the cannabis industry. And extracts is, in this particular case, I really like that combination together because extract is the process to extract. And then extracts is the various products that you get as a result.
So and the would whole you say,
the fastest you, growing category in the entire cannabis market, which is the fastest growing market on the planet, is extracts. So extracts is things that you vaporize, things that you eat, things that you create additives, things that, specific cannabinoids, which are being extracted and added to create pharmaceutical drugs. It's the whole category. So it's everything from when you take the original cannabis flower, you put it through, there's a billion different processes you can do, you extract the various compounds, cannabinoids, terpenes, and other compounds. And that is the number one fastest growing segment and the largest, it's already the largest piece of the pie in the cannabis market for retail. And so, whether medicinal or recreational. And they've just legalized it extracts and oils and whatnot. They've just legalized in Canada. So this is a monster market, absolutely massive, tens of billions of dollar market. And so, for me, that was a no-brainer at 38 grand.
If somebody came to you and they said, I'd like to buy extract.com, mm-hmm. would you say, here, I'll sell you extracts and extract.com? Would you try to package it?
This is where I said, we're going to make this interesting. We are going to affect somebody's fate right here live on this show. So within minutes, literally within minutes of buying this domain, presumably the guy who was already trying to negotiate to purchase the domain, but over-negotiated, contacted me to buy the domain. And he said, you know, hey, you just got this domain in your account, you know, minutes ago. I'll give you $50,000 for the domain. And I said, no. So then he went to $60,000. But the catch is he wants a payment plan. So he'll pay a deposit and then he'll pay monthly payments for 12 to 24 months. And so he went to 60 grand. I said, no. Again, you know, that's with a payment plan, not all cash up front. So then he came back and he said, best and final offer. Last night, he said, best and final offer, $75,000 over 24 months. So.
Mike, I'm realizing this story is not going to affect us at all.
No. What do you think? Should I immediately turn around and flip this thing for basically double the price, or maintain it as a pair with extract.com and, you know, hold out for what I think is, you know, I think it's worth six figures. But it's also hard to argue with double your money in 24 hours. So,
I mean, how many pairs do you sell? Like, do you sell pairs? Like, does that actually work? It seems like
I've only done it a couple times. And generally speaking, it's not that I think this will sell as a pair, but it gives me a tremendous amount of leverage because I control the pair that, like, we own the category defining verb and noun for the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing markets on the planet. So that gives you a lot of price power. And because nobody has an alternative. Like, they can't go, if I'm trying to price extract.com, which I think is the more valuable name,
extracts.io,
at $450,000. And then they come and they, well, you know, extracts plural is at $38,000. I'm going to go buy that one. I have no power. But now they don't have an alternative unless they want .io, and then we'll just take their traffic and they'll increase the value of our name and then we'll sell it to them for a much higher price later when they're a real company. So
I think it's interesting to note that, or it's interesting as we, you know, make this decision with you, it sounds like, how different it would be if it were the other way around. If you had the offer on the higher value name, but like, you can get, if you're increasing percentage-wise because of this, then you're losing the leverage on the lower one. You're actually losing more money on the higher value one if that would increase percentage-wise because of the lower one. You know what I mean? Whereas if you were doubling your money on the bigger one, then it's not as big a deal if you don't get as much off the smaller one. I don't know how well that was worded.
I have a question. Mike, did you just register extract.io?
No, do I own that one?
No, I just went to go register it and I hit it and it said, now this domain is not available. It went from available to not available.
Where'd you go? No, I didn't register.
I went to GoDaddy.
I'm sure it's already registered. Extract.
It said extracts is taken, and sorry not to screw up the story, but extract.io was available, and I click it, and it goes, no, it's not available. So maybe it was a bad feed. Anyway, okay, I thought we were literally registering as this story went along.
Are you kidding? Mike has so much automation. He probably has an automation when you say extracts.io. He's got like a computer nearby that heard you and checked for
it. It's a Carson registration system you just spoke of. Yeah. All right, sorry, tell the story. I don't want to ruin it. This is a good one.
No, so that's it. The story's over. The question is now, what do I do? Do we sell extracts.com for double money, but it's a payment plan over 24 months? Or do we kick the can down the road and hope for, six figures?
Well, I feel like that's a question you have to answer, man. I mean, like,
I know, but I like to I like to shake things up and make it interesting. And so,
well, I mean, you wouldn't double
my balls on the table here and saying, guys, look, my balls are in your hands.
Well, it depends on what you think the value is worth. I mean, who doubling your money in a day? Who's not going to do that, especially when it's $38,000? I mean, $38,000 a day.
It's not all cash up front. It's
I
think that's the key in this uncertainty. That to me is the number one factor. Plus the fact that the other domain is more valuable and you'd have more leverage. I would not sell it. Plus, if you want to sell it a year from now, he'll still be around. So wait,
what kind of feedback you get, because you get
a lot of offers on the singular. Wait, see what feedback you get. And if people like the idea of the two together, or people who can't afford the better one can afford the other one. Like, and if it doesn't work out, go back to your payment plan, dude.
Yeah, but you know, these things, those people don't stick around, right? So it's the same with me. If I make you an offer, don't think you're going to come back to me 6 months from now because you shopped it around and nobody else wants it and think I'm going to make you the same offer or make you any.
Yeah. I mean, you just make the deposit $38,000. Now you've not paid anything.
Now you've got zero risk.
And then the rest is juice for the next 12, 24 months of just
very funny.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike? What would you do?
Extracts.
So, but Ben, assuming that he will not pay $38,000 deposit, assuming that it will be,
if he doesn't pay $38,000,
10% deposit and then monthlies over 24 months.
No.
So you're talking whatever, $3,000 a month.
Hey, Drew, you're a domain seller. You're not a bank.
You sure?
Well, I would love to be a bank.
I'd sell it. You have extract, man. You have extract. That's much better. I would sell it.
Shane? One yay and one nay. Who's going to get it? The yays or the nays? Shane, you are the deciding vote. Is this man going to get extracts.com or is he not? Your decision right now.
If he can
determine this.
If he can't come up with $38,000, I don't sell it. Yeah. I'm a get my money back. Otherwise, that's a big space, man. That's a big space.
So you're a nay unless
$38,000 or don't sell.
All right. That's it. I'll update you on the next episode.
I like it. That was interesting. Cool.
And Mike, your story is going to be nothing compared to that one.
No pressure. I thought you said I was driving Mike away. You are driving Mike away now. Cut that out, Shane. I like Mike on this show.
He is. He's fantastic.
Although, Mike, I miss your psychedelic family picture in the background. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. We moved and hung that above the fireplace here.
That's cool. Hey, so I looked up extract.io and extracts.io were both registered in 2017, and they're owned by different parties. So
yeah, I can't believe they're registered. 2017. That's so late. I'm surprised. Yeah.
Well, they're probably drops through you that somebody else owns before or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I do. Before we get to you, Mike, I just want to poke at that for a second. Back at Extracts. So what I see is kind of a giant cluster. You've got some guy who wanted to buy it who couldn't afford it, and he was willing to pay double. It sounds like, and this seller wasn't able to either figure out a way to get that full double. Like, that's a lot of money he left on the table. And what I did not hear was the word broker. There was no broker for the buyer, for the seller. And I think if there were a professional broker, this is why. If you have a startup, get a broker. They're going to get you the name you want. They're going to not leave so much money on the table. I think people who think they need to save that tiny bit of money that they would send to the broker don't recognize how much they're missing in the negotiation process. And not that we're always like some advertisement for brokerage, but that just seems to me like this whole cluster, which guess who it benefited? The broker. The broker who's also an investor and smart enough to buy it. But just people, get yourselves a broker.
The key to this deal, and the only reason we got it as opposed to the other guy, is pay fast.
That's it. And if he'd gone to a broker, if he'd gone to Domain Capital, if he'd,
sure, you know. But do what you say you're going to do and pay fast.
Yeah, so how did you get it in less than a day? Did you use escrow.com?
Escrow.com, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty fast. Okay.
Yeah. And Media Options has really built a reputation. We will pay you faster than anyone. And that can make a big difference. Not that people are desperate to spend the money, but that they want to know a deal is closed, especially when you have other buyers that you're turning away. You want to know it's really closed. And dealing with digital assets is unique because you can't touch them. They're not like the check is in the mail. Like, you want to know that you really got it before you turn everybody else away. So, yeah. Mike, what'd you buy or sell lately?
Well, this one's a few months old, but I thought it was relevant because the .com is on the list from NameJet. So, I sold Lucky.io.
Nice. I think I was in that auction. I think I was in the auction when you probably originally got it.
How'd you get the name?
I can't really tell from my email, but I was talking with the guy who owned it before, after it had expired, and he was going to get it to me. But I think I might have actually got it after it expired with a nick.io back order from the actual, through the registry.
Nice. Hey, you guys, stop fishing for info before you guess. Shane, what do you think he sold it for? You get the info after. Come on.
Well, everybody wonders about the guy that's selling the auctioned name, at how he gets his own names. Does he pick off the names from his list? Does he, I think that's not, has anything to do with this, but that's always a question of where does Mike get his own names?
I get my names through, I reach out. I haven't gotten names recently for a while, but before, a lot of the names is going through, like, I have a database of all these .io names, and when they expire, I would just reach out to the previous owner for the good ones and be like, hey, this expired, I'll buy this from you, you know? And so that's how I'd get a lot of them. But I also look at auctions on like Flippa and things like that. And occasionally, yeah, if somebody doesn't order something through park.io, I'll get a name there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that being said, I'm lucky. That's a fantastic name. And .io is whatever. It can be all over the board. But I know you sell for...
Come on, IO sucks. You guys say IO sucks, right?
We listen to Mark Levine. We know it's gold.
You guys talk Mark, the so show much shit about that IO.
I bought 123.io for a lot of money from your site.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and Mark Levine, the show we aired yesterday was fantastic. With, you know, Mark went through all his sales in 2018, and he made a ton of money off .io sales last year. So, all right, Shane, come on, saddle up.
I'm going to say it's worth more than Extract. So I'm going to say $12,500.
Oh, is that like your lucky number of the year?
Mike has a great history of selling stuff, and I know from talking to other .io people on the really, really good ones, you're in five figures on those names. So I'll just say 12.5 again. It's a good round number.
All right. Mr. Rosner?
$8,000.
Drinking from the mason jar must have been a good number. Or straight whiskey.
You ready for this? So I sold it for 10 bitcoins, which at the time was $67,000.
Oh my god.
Wow. Nice work. Lucky.io. I mean, gaming tech. That is such a great brand. So much room for expansion.
So you sell it in Bitcoin, it's going to be some kind of Bitcoin gaming, Bitcoin casino?
Yeah, that's what I think, probably. I don't know.
I love it.
It was going to be until Bitcoin went to...
And what did you do with the coin? You still have the coin, or did you get your 67?
No, I still... So yeah, now it's down to like 40,000.
Either way, that's more than 12.5.
Yeah.
And that sounds to me like a fair price to an end user and perfect in the Bitcoin space where they do have a lot of money. Or did. Do you guys think that their buyer overpaid, or you think that was a reasonable price? Because you guessed a lot lower.
I know that he would have sold it for a lot lower than 10 Bitcoins. I'm sure he would have sold it for 9 Bitcoins.
Yeah, I would have. I probably would have sold it for lower, but I got lucky on that one. but
no, he did too. Ah,
but you know what? Like, this is so like, it shows that other TLDs make money, right? So that's like, we know that. So it's not just .com. So everybody that's focusing on .com, they could be missing out on a lot, and they are. If you know, so there's other things. There's other TLDs out there. But I think another thing with this is like, you know, people like how, okay, so 67,000, like, you know, on here, people have said like, oh, well, you've had to say no to 66,000 to get to 67,000, but that's not really true. I think with this, it's just you ask, like, if you have a lot of domains, I was thinking about this recently, and I think if you have a lot of domains, you have to kind of treat it like a collection. I think this is how you can be successful with domaining. It's like, if you treat it like a collection and you have these names that, you know, I'm going to trade, I'm going to buy and sell these. This one's a cool one. I'll buy and like, it's like baseball cards or something, you know, like I'll buy and sell. These are good. But like, I have these up on my mantle up here, like these really good ones, like my Mickey Mantle, you know, rookie card. I'm not going to sell that unless I get a huge offer. And I think like, so you have some that you're just going to wait for the big numbers. And then you have a bunch of others that you just buy and sell. And I think if you treat it like that, you can, you know, it's like, you know, somebody makes you an offer for one of your really good ones. You're like, man, if I sell that, how am I going to replace that? What am I going to have? You know, it's like, then my collection goes down a notch, you know? So I need a big number for that one. And I think by treating it that way, you kind of, you can get the bigger sales like that.
Yeah. Totally. I totally agree. I think, you know, we treat our stuff the same way. There's like,
yeah, 100%.
Maybe let's say if we have 5,000 names, there's maybe 20, what percentage is that? 2%?
Yeah. The problem is the guy that's got his Ken Griffey Jr. card up on his mantle. I'm like, fuck. Griffey Jr. on your mantle? You want 50,000 for that? Like, that's one of my best names. So
that's when you go look for something different.
Yeah. Knowing what to put on your mantle is kind of the key too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, good for you. That's a great sale. Thanks. And I think great.io. So let's take a moment. I'm going to tell you about our sponsors for today's show who support us in our mission to educate people in the domain name industry.
First, serious about online trading? Secure your funds, keep your merchandise safe, and use a company that keeps the buyer and seller protected the whole way through. That's escrow.com. Payments you can trust.
All right. In the domain portfolio review, we take user-submitted domain name portfolios and provide honest and constructive feedback to the owners so they can cut their losses, continue to hold them long-term, or figure out a sales strategy going forward. I like today's portfolio, and I appreciate we have 6.ios. You may know username TC27 submitted this portfolio. 19 domains, 10.com, 6.io, 1.net, 2.org. So let's take a look, guys, and get some feedback on what you think and what you would do with them. Mike, I wanted you to go first here with all of them, but particularly the .ios. What are your thoughts?
Like I mentioned on a previous Domain Sherpa episode, I gave this like GitHub appraisal system where you go to github.com and you can search for the term. And you can see how many times it's found in different code repositories and stuff. So I did that with these .io names. And I mean, there's some that like trading bot, there's 165, you know, matches for that. So I mean, my appraisal system would say it's like worth $165, but that's, you know, that's just, it's just kind of like a, just gives you an idea. It's not really exact. It's definitely not exact, but it just gives you an idea. Like TradingBot has 165, Deadbolt 87, Starfruit 16, Submarine 870, Splurge 35, and Pesto 128. So, I mean, Submarine has the most at 870, and I think it probably, even though it's a little you know, long, has a lot of syllables. I think it's probably the best one there. Not just because it has the most matches. .io games, there's a lot of .io games now, and I could see like a submarine .io game coming out. And if it did, you could make a lot of, you know, you could get a lot of traffic to that name, because the people who create these games, they don't even have the domain name sometimes, like tank.io. Like I mentioned this before on Domain Sherpa, but like I had tank.io, which I just registered a while ago because I thought it sounded good, and then suddenly started getting all this traffic, and like I put it on Parking Crew, and it was making like $1,000 a day, you know, from clicks and stuff like that. Wow. And I was like, what the, like, how, what is going on? And then like, it's just this game came out, tank.io game. I mean, it only made like $1,000 for like a couple days, and then it went down and stuff. But it, there's this game, tank.io, that came out. And I see that happening with other names. Like, it's just like out of nowhere, they just start getting tons of traffic. And so I could see something like I would hold submarine.io for, and, you know, ask, I would ask, I don't know, 5,000 or 10, you know, 10,000 or 5,000. And then, but you might get traffic. I would just watch the traffic on that just to see. So, so yeah, I mean, I guess my favorites would be submarine, pesto.io. And I mean, I like Deadbolt, even though it doesn't have that many repositories, just for like, you know, locking, like maybe some crypto thing or something. But yeah, I guess those would be my favorites.
That's interesting to me about Pesto, because I feel like, you know, Deadbolt and Splurge and obviously Submarine, they sound more like techie and exciting and something that could apply in certain techie spaces. But I don't understand why Pesto is the second most active. I don't feel like Pesto and like Geek go together.
I think it's just it's a brand, you know. It's like, so there's maybe some food app or something like that. It's like a, you know, it's kind of a, it's a short two syllable pesto. It's easy to remember, recognize. It's a kind of a cool brand, I guess. Pesto.io. I mean, it's, you know, it's not the best in the world, but it's, I think I could see it, you know, I could
really
see it
as I put that at the bottom of all, because Deadbolt is two syllables, but in my opinion, way cooler. Splurge, only one syllable, but you would still put Pesto as number two.
I mean, personally, yeah. And this is not a science. I mean, this GitHub appraisal thing helps put numbers on it and stuff, but
you're a .io expert and I'm not.
Well, even if I'm an expert, like it's not perfect. But I think, I don't know, to me, pesto.io, like if I was building a something around food restaurants, or even just, you know, some app, like collaboration app or something like that. It's kind of it's like a spicy, you know, like it's a spicy brand or something. I mean, pesto, it's easy to remember. It's easy to type in. People will recognize it and people, it's, yeah. So these other ones, deadbolt.io, it doesn't roll off the tongue as easily to me. I mean, starfruit.io, it's more obscure. And so, yeah, that's just my thinking.
Cool. Well, thanks. Yeah, that's good. Good to know. You know what's going on. Who's next? Shane, what do you think?
Well, I'll, you know, even without Mike being here, I would have said that the .ios are probably my favorite on the list. I do think that they can sell, but they're a little bit more limited as to where, you know, I mean, here we have extracts, chili extracts on there, which is ironic. Yeah, I mean, the names are fine. I think that most of those they probably could sell. But, you know, you have a Geo Vodka. You're pretty much down to Montreal-based vodka companies, which I think you can figure out how many of those are. So there's not going to be too many. So it brings me back to the .ios. And, you know, Mike's saying that we don't like .ios, but I don't think that's true at all. I think this whole domain thing always comes to branding. It always has. Is when you're finding a name for your company and getting people to your website, you try and pick the best thing that they can remember. .com wins because it's in the mind of the most people. But .io is starting to get in the minds of a new crowd and my daughter's crowd. And so it works. As long as they can remember it, I don't care what's at the end of it. It's when they can't, or they type something else, or they lose traffic. You just don't want to be there as a brand. .io doesn't have to upgrade to a .com, but you should own it probably if you become big enough. So I think they're great. And I don't necessarily, like, Deadbolt to me is a perfect brand in security. It's a wide open space. It can be your door. It can be your wallet. It can be, it's a fantastic brand, and they're not going to get deadbolt.com. So that's a
Tiger real, owns it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I sold it to him.
Yeah. I forgot. And Mike's only got like 10 names. So he that's a really good one. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah, and, I didn't like when you sold that one. That was one of my all-time favorites. But I have in this time, you know what? Pesto.io, dip in.
And again, you know, people don't use these things for anything you think about. Starfruit will have nothing to do with Starfruit sales.
I can see it as a brand, and I see what you're saying, Mike.
Yeah, and I really like Trading Bot and Submarine are probably my least two favorites. I mean, Submarine's fine, but it, you know, I'd rather have Splurge. Sounds more fun, and you know, as far as owning a name or a brand, Splurge really stands out there. So I'm right there with Mike. That's where I'd want to be. I think a lot of those could be five-figure names. I would hold on to them, and again, the other ones are fine, but man, there's just so many hundreds of thousands of names similar. And when we talk about names that are going up in value and names that are going down, I think those two word geo, those are the ones that are going down. There's just too much going on there.
Mm-hmm. So ScottishWhiskeyTours.com, brandyourbusiness.org.
Yeah, I mean, when you come down to it, it's, and I love to talk about the guide. There's so many people that bitch about Estabot and GoDaddy valuation. It's a guide, man. It's if you're making your decisions on a guide, then that's a mirror problem. That's a you problem. You just need something that decides and helps you decide how many people are interested in that. So yeah. when he uses GitHub, you know, and some of the names I have, I say it doesn't work on GitHub because it's not what they were going to name something. You know, like one, I have 123, I look on it. Well, yeah, everybody's lazy and name 123. That doesn't mean it's the best name in the world. It just means that that's what they named it. And it's just a guide. It helps you know how many people think about that term. But sometimes the tech industry doesn't use terms that, you know, there's some outliers in that. So it's not perfect either. But the people that think that's an exact science, it drives me crazy how they complain about Estabot not being right. It says 10 and it sold for 40. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's a guide. So yeah. I think the guide would give you some good prices on some of these words because they're good keywords in an Estabot type. But I think the side that's going down. I mean, I think that there's the stuff.
So I feel like, you know, say something like blockchain journal, then combined with .net is just delete that. You just lost some money. Absolutely. But say then he took the same word journal, you know, sneakerjournal.com. Would you renew that? Do you think that's worthwhile? Do you think he should?
No, that's the kind of name that I'm going and I'm sure somebody could pick it up and sell it, but it's just not, to me, it doesn't give me the best chance. I want names that give me the most amount of people to buy it. And when you pigeonhole yourself down to an industry that's small. Now, maybe that industry is a billion-dollar industry. It's worth it. But for the most part, when there's seven people in the Montreal vodka possibilities, just not enough for me to hang on.
Gotcha. So it's just too narrow, whereas, you know.
I don't want to have a portfolio of 20,000 names waiting for the seven people on each name to buy that name.
Just, yeah.
That's not the kind of domain investor I want to be.
That's a great way to put it. So he's got it right on some of them, especially the .ios, but trying to get into the .com space, he's getting too pigeonholed. So we should probably strategically look at what he can afford. It seems to be either 2-3 letter .com or, I mean, 2-3 word .com or a 1-word .io. So go in that direction.
In 2009, he could have made some typo money or not or type in money on some ads, but it's getting a little late.
Yeah. So either save up all the .com renewals and buy one better.com or stick with, you know, your budgeting in the .io, get to know that space better. And when you're making more money, upgrade. That sounds
that's
like
how I would do it.
Advice I'm hearing you say.
Right. Yeah, that's how I would do it. I hate giving advice because, you know, there's always somebody that can tell me wrong, but that's how I would do it.
Why are you on this show?
I don't know, but I mean, that's what I tell everybody. All I can do is tell my journey and tell how I do it, and then they can decide. I'll never tell anybody in this space how to do it. I can tell them I think it's wrong, that I would never do it that way. But I'm there's at no point in time have I reached a point in time where I feel somebody to say, don't do that, unless it's illegal.